There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
This guy knows about winning. This guy is a great broadcaster, and he was probably even a better football player. Three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth joins us now via the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Mark, good morning. Thanks for coming on here in the ATL.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always good to be with you guys.
Well, it's great to be with you as well, and it's almost like it was set up perfectly. You played a long time for the Denver Broncos, won Super Bowl championships there. They make the monster move yesterday to go out and get Sean Payton. I'll ask you, do you like the idea of trading for a coach the way Denver did?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, you have to look at how I value the draft or how I don't value the draft. You know, people get all up in arms about draft picks. And pretty much if you go through the history of the NFL and see teams that have traded for coaches, the teams that have traded for the coach and given up the draft capital have always seemed to fare pretty well. And here's the deal about first rounders or about draft picks in general. 50% of them don't amount to a squirt of piss. I don't look at it like, oh my gosh, we're going to lose a first rounder. You know, oh my, well, how are we going to survive? Let me ask you about the five quarterbacks that were supposed to be Hall of Fame type caliber quarterbacks that were taken in the first round in 2018. You know, Baker Mayfield. You talk about Sam Darnold. You talk about Josh Rosen. Yeah, Josh Allen's been great. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's been great. But you can go back to the first and second pick overall. You know, the Carson Wentz's of the world. It's not easy. And it's not an exact science. And if I know a guy that can coach and that can set a culture for your franchise and they can put you in the right position to have an advantage from a matchup standpoint and a personnel standpoint like Sean Payton can, I believe that's an advantage. Or a guy like Bill Belichick that could see that Tom Brady has something about him, so you keep him as the fourth-string quarterback. Hmm. The fourth-string quarterback is a rookie. And then Drew Bledsoe gets hurt against the Jets, he comes in and you decide, hey, man, you are going to lose your job to an injury because I think this kid is better than you. And you go on to win multiple championships. Like, there's value in that. There's value in a coach. So I believe in it.
Mark, you played offensive line in the league a long time, three-time Super Bowl champion. You call games now with Fox. I believe you had a couple games of the Falcons this year. Mm-hmm. One of the big topics of conversation here in the offseason is what the Falcons are going to do with Caleb McGarry at right tackle. Free agent. What do you think they should do? What type of money could he demand on the open market? And do you think the Falcons should make him a top 10 highest paid right tackle in the game?
Here's the deal. Like, he's a really good player. Now, he is not the most fleet of foot right tackle in the league, right? But what the Atlanta Falcons do, the way they run the football, that guy really played with some confidence this year, and I thought that guy really played good football. Now, occasionally, you know, if you get into a passing matchup and you're isolated on the edge and you're trying to spread your offense out, you know, he's going to get beat on the edge occasionally. That's going to happen to him. But he could be a dominant run blocker. He could be a dominant, you know, physical force. I thought the right side of your offensive line was incredible. Obviously, with Lindstrom coming off the ball, the guy is an incredible player. Just really have enjoyed watching him play. So he's a guy that I think you've got to lock up. He's a guy that I think you've got to pay. And understand this, you know, when you hit the free agent market, if you go out and try to find yourself offensive lineman on the free agent market, most of those guys are flawed. Most of those guys have issues. And you're overpaying for very marginal talent when you hit the free agent market. Or if you're allowed to hit the free agent market. So he's a guy that I definitely, based upon what Arthur Smith wants to do and the way they want to run the ball and control line of scrimmage, he's a guy that I think is a must re-sign.
Mark, and looking forward to the Super Bowl, I'm looking at the offensive lines from both teams. You have four All-Pro and Kelsey and Johnson and then Creed Humphrey and Thune. When you have an All-Pro on the offensive line and also dealing with All-Pros from the other team defensive line, How much do you go with, or what kind of balance is needed to let your guys go one-on-one and trust their skill set as far as giving guys help, knowing that somebody like Chris Jones is an absolute beast?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it comes down to how you call plays. You know, I always look at offensive coordinators and the way you call a play. You're going to throw the ball 35 times. I mean, that's just the league that we have right now. You're going to throw it 35 times. So it's really about giving your offensive line the tools to be successful and taking those 35 reps through play calling, through how you run the football, your play action. Okay, how many times do we run, run action, play action? I qualify play action in two categories. I call it the run action stuff, right, off the boot keep game, all the stuff that comes off the roll game, all the stuff that comes off the real run stuff, you know, like where you're defending run and all of a sudden we throw the ball. So there's the run action. So all of a sudden you say, hey, 35 reps, we're going to take five run action plays, right? Bam, now we're down to 30. Okay, we're going to have five play pass situations where we keep seven guys in, we get three-man route combinations, or we keep eight guys in, we get a two-man route combination. So that's the play pass stuff. Now we're down to 25 times where our offensive line has to protect. Now what do we run? The quick game. We run three quick game things, or five quick game things, you know, three-step drops. Now we're down to 20. Now all of a sudden it's the swing passes and the bubble screens, the screen game. So now we're down to 15 times that you have to hold up in protection. Now let's take five-step drops and five-step drops without a hitch. So we know the ball is gone, so we can treat them like the quick game, the three-step drop. Now I'm down to 10 plays where my O-line has to protect. And if I can take the passive out of pass protection and essentially let my offensive line dictate tempo of the game, well, then we can hold up. But if you drop back 35 times and think you're going to hold up, I don't care how good your O-line is, you're going to get your ass beat. That's just the way it works. I mean, you know, like collectively, we are the worst athletes on the football field, bar none. And so, like,
give yourself more credit than that, Mark.
No. It's 100%. Think about this.
It's factual.
You've seen a corner transition to safety. You've seen a safety transition to linebacker. You've seen an outside linebacker transition to DN, to DN transition to D-tackle, D-tackle. Flip sides of the ball and transition to offensive lineman. When you go – offensive lineman is the last rung on the ladder. You go offensive lineman fan.
We've seen a couple right tackles go to tight end.
No, you don't go, hey, man, all of a sudden I'm going to be a guard and I got – you know, I'm going to lose 35 pounds, 40 pounds and be a linebacker. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen that way. So it really is incumbent upon the coordinator to call a great game so I can take my passive out of pass protection, so I can – be the aggressor, and I can change up my sets, and I can take the kind of the fight to the defensive line and have them play multiple things and have to have them think.
No doubt about it. Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champion. Countdown to game day coming up from him as play-by-play for the big game day. When we were playing a long time ago, we and Mike Mularkey was our head coach, and we went against great defensive ends. When I tell you the first three of the first seven plays, we went after their best player, whether that's Bosa or Reddick, mm-hmm. or whoever it might be, he was getting cut, he was getting chipped, he was getting double-teamed, something was going to happen. It seems like today, offensive coordinators and offensive head coaches take it for granted that their guys are just going to hold up. So I want to get your thought on that, and what needs to happen in this Super Bowl for these guys to be successful?
Yeah, I completely agree with that philosophy. And, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of times you know, when you have a great player, a lot of times people try to run away from that great player, you know, try to do everything opposite that the side of that great player. And we have the same philosophy, attack him. I'm not running away from the guy. I'm going to attack him, and I'm going to make him stop his feet. When you have a real speed guy, a linebacker that can run sideline to sideline, what do? You don't allow him to run sideline to sideline. You make him play that tight zone, that tight zone game, you make him play the duo, right, the double team. You make him stop his feet and take away that advantage that he has, is that athleticism, and you make him play hard-nosed football. So I'm a big believer in doing that to guys, making them get involved and put as many people on them as you can and you know, make them the point of attack defenders. So I'm a believer in that, and I think, you know, when you look at guys like Chris Jones for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, guys that you have to contend with. That's one thing that I want to do is I want to get him involved and I want to try to grind on him a little bit, try to double team him as much as possible and try to get after him at the point of attack. So I think that's a big, I think those are big things, and I think a lot of coaches, you know, I always say this about coaches in general, like, don't put a guy in a position to fail. Don't be surprised when he fails. Your dumb ass is the one that put him in that position. So, like, my thought process is understand your weaknesses and try to mitigate those weaknesses as much as possible. So, you know, I think that's the first part of game planning, and a lot of coaches go opposite of that. The first part of game planning to them is, what's the weakness of this defense? Let's attack it. And my thought process is, what's the weakness of our offense? Let's protect it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of a different philosophy.
Mark, I've had other players that have played in the Super Bowl tell me the most annoying part about playing in it is the 2 weeks leading up to it where people just haggle you about tickets, people that text you and call you that, like, you don't even have their number saved, and you're like, who is this asking me for tickets? Did you experience that same thing when you played in your three Super Bowls, and how did you handle it?
Listen, I delegated to my wife, you're in charge, and I have nothing to do with any of this. So, I had a good support system at home. And ultimately, I was on very mature teams, even as a young player, my third year going to the Super Bowl and playing. We were on very business-like, very mature teams. And I even told my wife, hey, you guys are coming down. Like, we went out on Sunday to travel out to the Super Bowl site. I think they brought the families in on Wednesday, and I was like, you got me Wednesday and Thursday night, and that's it. Then don't call me after that. You won't see me until Sunday after the game. As much of a jerk as I sound, like, that, it's a business trip, man, and I owe it to this team to take care of my business, to make sure that, you know, that we have that I'm not the guy that screws this up for us. So, our team was very much, all the teams I played on were very much like that. It was complete and total focus on what we had to do to win a football game. And then the party's that much better afterwards.
Well, speaking of party, the Super Bowl party is gigantic. A lot of us will be throwing them. What is your guide to throwing the ultimate Super Bowl party? Because the last thing you want is bad food or a bad viewing experience for the people coming over to your house.
Yeah, no question about it. Starts with the TV, LG OLED TVs, award-winning 65-inch OLED C2 series. Wow. It's got the best picture quality, realistic colors, crisp, sharp images, zero blurring on fast motion. So for watching sports or gaming or movies, it's the best. From 42 to 97 inches, I always say, they say go big or go home. I say go big with the TV and stay home. It's much better that way, LG.com. And then the big game, you got to have big food, big snacks. I think snacks are big. Variety is a spice of life. You want a ton of variety. Starts with Farm Rich, tons of snacks and appetizers found in the freezer section of your local grocer. Something for everyone. We've got cauliflower bites. We've got jalapeno poppers. We got toasted ravioli, all kinds of stuff.
They're
talking about snack charcuterie boards. Instead of charcuterie, we got snack charcuterie boards. FarmRich.com for more information. And lastly, Jennifer's Home Power, the two-power solar generator. Biggest nightmare, this happened to me when I was a kid. Lost power during the Super Bowl in Alaska.
Oh, no.
And literally ran 2 miles to my – says something about my parents. My parents didn't care. They let me run 2 miles in the dark in Alaska to my neighbor's house to finish watching the Super Bowl. This two-pro solar generator is safe to use inside. No fumes, no noise, no maintenance. Rechargeable solar panels. Runs 99% of your home appliances, your fridge, your fans, your heaters, you name it. Don't go without power, and most importantly, runs your OLED TV. So, Jennifer's.com if you want more information on a generator for your in-home use.
Mark, I got to push back there for a second. Did I hear cauliflower bites at a Super Bowl party? You're an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
You don't believe that, do you? Cauliflower bites?
Oh, dude, listen, man. I am a cauliflower bite, jalapeno popper. It doesn't mean I'm not eating the meatballs and everything else. Like,
that's right.
I'm not. But, like, a little variety is good for everybody, right?
That's right. Did you know when you finished playing football, at what point did you know you may want to do something in broadcasting, whether that was the sports talk radio route you took into calling games and being a part of that?
I thought that I would take two years off to do nothing.
Yep.
And that lasted about 2 weeks. And my wife said, if you don't find something to do, we're getting divorced. Yeah. And so, because I am the world's most needy person, and so I got to have something to do and something to go. I like to go into work. I enjoy I enjoy it. So, yeah, I knew within 2 weeks I had to find something to do, and you know, I'm blessed, man. It just worked out perfectly for me. 16 years on ESPN, and then the last 5 years with Fox calling games. And, you know, I love my studio time with ESPN. It was awesome. But I love, like, I may not be any good at it, but I love doing the games, man. I love being a part of it. I love being in facilities every week. I love talking to coaches and talking scheme. And it just really has been, it's been a cool run for me. You know, the only thing I ever wanted to do as a kid was to be a football player. And, you know, that came with a lot of sacrifice for sure. But I went right from being a football player to just doing nothing but talking about the game I love.
Well, we apologize on behalf of the Falcons' passing offense this year that you had to watch. But their run game as a former offensive lineman, I'm sure, put some smiles on your face.
Yeah, you know what? Their run game is phenomenal, and they do a great job. I love formationally what they do. I love their tight ends and their fullbacks and how they run the ball. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the passing game leaves a little bit to be desired, but you know, I have faith that it'll come around.
You talked about the 2 mile run in Alaska. Is that how Dennis Erickson found you to get you to the University of Idaho? Did he see you out there running around in the snow somewhere?
Yeah, actually, you know what? He came up for a little football camp right before my senior year, and there were two teams that came up. There was the University of Hawaii that came up to Alaska and Idaho. And those are the only two recruiting trips I took. And because, you know, athletically, I was gifted as a kid. And I actually got recruited to play linebacker and tight end at Hawaii. And anyhow, I went on both recruiting trips. And I just came to the realization that, one, I didn't know if I was going to be able to play at Hawaii. Simply because, you know, growing up in Alaska, you played six games. That was your
wow.
season. And I didn't know if I was going to be good enough to play there. And I thought, well, I could go to Idaho and I could play, you know, I could play and make sure I get the most out of my college career. And then the other thing was I knew growing up in Alaska, I was like, I can't wake up to sunshine 365. Like, it would drive me nuts.
What?
So, yeah, I had to have some season. I had to have some snow and some crap. That was my thought process.
I got to tell you, you might be the only player in recruiting history that it came down to Hawaii or Idaho and chose Idaho.
I know. I'm not that bright. Anyhow, hey, appreciate you guys. I got to roll to the next one.
All right, Mark, great to have you on. Appreciate you coming on here in Atlanta.
You got it. Take care.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.